Thanks, Mary. Thanks, band. God bless you. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And thank you for joining with us in the worship and just lifting up your hearts before the Lord. And it's such an atmosphere of faith and expectancy in the Spirit. It's really such a privilege to be here and to be able to share the word with you. And from the word go, from Guillermo's very powerful dance. What did he call it? The broken dance. Right through all the words that were brought, just about the Lord being after our hearts and the Lord wanting to really touch us at the place where we needed the most. Such powerful confirmation of what I believe the Lord is wanting to share with us this morning. You know, I've got a brain that works a little bit overtime most of the time. That's my excuse for being so absent-minded, okay? I'm not a list person. A whole bunch of little lists and tick boxes and things, not really my style. My wife strengthens me there in that area of weakness. But I've got a brain that works in pictures, and as soon as I've seen a picture, I rarely forget it. That's why I've got to be very careful with what I watch as well. I used to scare myself just listening to the radio stories. Years ago, there were stories on the radio. Volvo Dance and his Skemer, Afrikaans one. And few other ones as well. And just listening to it, I would scare myself. Well, it was 20 minutes of just torture listening to it. But I would, of course, the next day I would be back and I would be listening to it again and scare myself again. So I've got a brain that is sort of in a mind that goes with these pictures and images and things. And, you know, one of the mental pictures that stay in my mind quite a lot is movies that I watch and the phrases that come out of movies. And you can look as holy as you want to, as you look at me now, but I'm sure you have a few as well, you know? And the shorter ones are normally the most powerful ones, you know? Think of freedom! Hey? Last night. Last night. What was last night? Was it on? Oh, it was on. Huh? Yeah, Braveheart, exactly. If you're lucky, punk. Huh? Come on, give me a few. Oh, good, come.
Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Shark Tale.
Hey, don't underestimate the animation. Just because everybody is doing it doesn't mean that it's right. That's a good one. That's a long one as well. It's good. Come on, Marisa. Come on, where's the movie buffs? Ah, there we go, huh? Just the classic. One of my favorites. Whatever you, alas, whatever we do in life echoes in eternity. From Gladiator. Yeah. What else? From Gladiator as well. Are you not entertained? You know, I sometimes feel like saying that at church. Are you not entertained? I'm not going to throw my sword at you. Is there no one else? From Troy. Is there no one else? Winter morning sometimes, eh? You like look around like early morning at church. Is it just me? Is there no one else? What else? Hey. Betraying the age. Wax on. Wax off. Classic. Daniel-san and Mr. Miyagi. Come on, give me one more. I'll be back. I'll be back. I believe it's a line that he stole from Jesus, because Jesus did say that. I'll be back. Remember that? Soon and very soon, Jesus will be back. He promised us, he made many promises in scripture, and one of them is that he will be back. I've got kids, you know, and so there are a few movies we watch over and over again. And one of them is the one that deals with just pure awesomeness. Awesomeness. Panda, Kung Fu Panda. Can you feel the awesomeness? And Kung Fu Panda deals with the awesomeness and the hardcore. There's Kung Fu Panda, this panda bear, and he just, I like the way he encourages himself. You know, he dreams his big dreams, and he says, you know, like, he's awesome. And you're in the presence of awesomeness. And then he's got this friend who initially, she didn't start out being his friend, Tigress. And she was like the meanest of all the karate animals assembled there. And she was the hardest of them all. And she had this reputation of being the hardcore, and the strong one, the one that doesn't break. And so in one of the latest Panda movies, he has this big need, this big desire, this overwhelming desire to find out where he's from. You know, he's got all the skills and he's got all the moves and he can beat anybody silly any time of the day until he is confronted with something from his past. And in spite of his strength, in spite of all of his skill and all of his training, this thing from his past throws him completely. Just floors him. And so he goes on this quest to discover, where do I come from? Why did I grow up with this bird? And it's like, you know, I'm a panda. My dad's a bird. Something doesn't feel right here, but I'm not too sure what it is. So he goes on this quest to discover, where does he come from? And one moment in the movie, he's like speaking to Tigress, and Tigress is trying to prevent him from going on this quest. He wants to get there with all his might, and she's wanting to prevent him from going. And then he says to her, the hardcore won't understand. And she's like, the hardcore understands. Gives him a hug, and all the other animals are like, the hardcore has a heart. She can give hugs. The hardcore understands. There's something about the human heart that wants to be strong. Think about the movies. If I'm going to ask for a show of hands, Transformers, Iron Man, Avengers, Hulk. Oh, another favorite movie line is Hulk, smash. I like that. Man of Steel coming up soon. There's this fascination that we have with things that are indestructible. Things that are unbreakable. Somebody that can stand in the midst of any storm, laugh in the face of the storm, and come out stronger. At the same time, we have the knowledge that that isn't to be. That's not us. We are broken. There's something inside of us that know how weak we are. And so this morning, I want to very quickly, because the Lord has said it all already, and I just want to agree with him, which is a good thing for a preacher to do, right? To agree with the Lord. I want to speak to us for a few minutes about the heart core, right? Not the hardcore, the heart core. And so if you can go with me in your Bibles or whatever device you're using, follow on the screen. I want to read for us Psalm 51, one of the seminal verses in scripture that captures, I think, the heart of David and captures the heart of a worshiper and someone who understands the heart of God. Remember that David lived in the Old Testament. Barry now read to us about the sacrifices and the processes and the rituals that the people in the Old Testament had to go through in order to get into the presence of God, in order to have an understanding of the mercy and the grace of God. And that was the rule for most of them, but here and there, there were people who understood the heart behind the rituals. And David was one of them. And Psalm 51 is a psalm that I believe most of us know very well, and a psalm that captures our hearts, especially after we've sinned, which happened reasonably often as we are human beings. And he has this ability to just verbalize what's in our hearts. You know, at one stage he says, God, create in me a clean heart. He says, unite my heart to fear your name. Don't take your spirit away from me. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, prayers that I've prayed so often. And later on he goes on, he says, oh Lord, open my lips. This is after, those of you who don't know the story, he's fallen badly into sin. Used his power to basically rape a woman, kill the husband, and just bad stuff. Okay, and his friend comes to him, confronts him about this. He repents and he says, Lord, open my lips. It's like he's crying out to the Lord and saying, God, you've got to help me just to open my mouth. Because there's such a lot of stuff in my heart. There's so much that I need to say, I want to say, but I just can't get my mouth open. Have you ever been there? You're like, you sit there and you're like, where do I begin, God? You know, what do I say to make this right? How do I fix this? This God just, you've got to help me just open my mouth. And it says, and then my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not, and here's the crux, it says, for you do not desire a sacrifice. Remember, this is a man that grew up, that lived in an age of sacrifice. Here he comes and he says, you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So you've got to read verse 18 and verse 16 and verse 17. You've got to read them together. They complement each other. So he's saying, God, you do not desire empty sacrifice. That's what he's speaking about. You are not set on the externals. You don't get impressed by the external things, the things we do to impress other people or to impress ourselves. Otherwise, I would have done those things, God. I would have sacrificed all those bulls and everybody would have looked at me and would have seen, you know, how repentant I am as a king. But he says, God, I know I can do those things and yet I can miss it, not have my heart in it. The sacrifice that you want, the sacrifice that you desire is the hardcore. It's the sacrifices that speak of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. It says, these, O God, you will not despise. In other words, these, O God, you will not reject. You will not chase these away. I don't know about you, but I want my sacrifices to be acceptable unto God. I want to know that I'm in the presence of God and I want to know that I please Him, that what I give Him is acceptable to Him. There are probably two stories that stand out in Scripture of people's sacrifices who weren't accepted by God, who were despised by God. If you remember right at the beginning, the first murder, Cain killing his brother, family feud, and he murders his brother out of just a rage that he refused to control because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not his sacrifice. And if you read about it at first glance, it seems so unfair. Poor Cain, you know. You know, all he did was he didn't farm with the right thing, it seemed. Abel farmed with the sheep, and so God wanted the sheep, and so the sheep was accepted, and Cain had an offering of grain, and that was rejected. But it was never about the sheep. It was never about the grain. It was about the heart. Guys, it's not about what you bring on the surface. It is about the heart. Remember, Jesus said the same thing about the widow. The widow came and she brought a very small amount of money. In the context of what everybody else brought, it was nothing. Look at that. They won't even feed somebody. Won't even buy somebody a blanket. What are you doing? And Jesus says, no, she just gave more than anybody else. And all of you guys here combined. Why? Because of the heart that it represents. And so the more I'm walking with the Lord and the more I'm just spending time with Him, I'm aware of how important it is that we from time to time stop and we evaluate the stuff that we do and what we give God and we make sure that the hardcore is still there. The heart is still connected to what we do, to what we give God. And so when the Lord says that He desires a certain sacrifice and a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, these are acceptable to Him. I looked up a definition of broken because I realized that it is something, like I've said, that we shy away from. I can just, if you look at that with me, the Free Dictionary defines broken a few ways, and I just want to read them for you. It can mean any one of the following things. Being forcibly separated into two or more pieces, fractured like a broken arm, broken glass, sundered by divorce or separation or desertion of a parent or parents. Like example, children from broken homes, a broken marriage. So when it says there's a brokenness in you that God desires, then one part of the brokenness speaks about stuff like this. It speaks about being forcefully separated into pieces. Have you ever felt that in your life? Have you ever felt close to someone or close to a dream or close to a destiny or close to a success, close to something very meaningful to you, and then you and that something were forcibly separated? It was, in other words, it was broken. That dream was broken. That desire was broken. It's not what it was. And God says, if you've got something like that in your heart, then that's what I want. If you've got something in you that have been forcibly separated from something else, torn apart from something, that is what I want. If you've got something that feels like a broken arm or a broken leg, something that once worked, an imagination, a creativity, but it now it doesn't work anymore. A hope, a joy, a love, but it's now broken. It's not as strong as it used to be. Then God says, then that is what I want. That is what is pleasing to me, that's acceptable to me. If you have had relationships that were separated, God said, then that's brokenness in you that I want. Brokenness can also speak about having been violated, a broken promise. How many of us have gone through life and people have made promises to us and we have made promises to people? And it breaks both parties, the one breaking the promise and the one receiving it. It can be something incomplete, like a broken set of books. How many of us have got incomplete seasons in our lives? You know, a season in your life, if you look back on it, then you realize, man, the grace of God was there and God carried me through it. But I probably fulfilled about 50% of what I should have. I probably fulfilled about 10% maybe of what I should have in that season. I was either too focused on the future. I remember whilst being at school, being in primary school, I always just waited for the time I would be able to get to high school. And I would feel different. You get to high school, like, you wait for the time you get to varsity, and then things would be different. You get to varsity in your first year again, you wait till the final year. And you know the cycles we can sometimes find ourselves in. So we either live too much in the future or we live too much in the past. And so what happens is we're not there fully. There's something broken in us. We don't get the, you know, where you guys don't do it, but sometimes when you have a bra and you suck the marrow out of the bone, it's like sobbiene. You have to sobbiene it. And that's like with the fat around, you suck it dry. And that's the way God wants us to live life, where you suck life dry. You walk away, I got everything. Most of us don't live that way. Most of us live calculated, predetermined. Why? Because there's something broken inside of us. And God says, that's the brokenness that I want. It can speak about being in a state of disarray, like or disorder, like troops fleeing in broken ranks. How many of us have fled from certain situations, certain confrontations with other people or with anxiety or fear or demonic oppression? And if we're honest, we've got to say to ourselves, we were really clapped silly in the moment. We really didn't have the strength that we should have had in that moment. And then God says, if you have something like that in your life, that thing you think back on, you just want to move over it as soon as possible. You don't want to stop there because there's a little bit of chaos that came out of it. And God says, there's a brokenness that I want. He goes on, if that's not bad enough, any definitions, says it can speak about something that is intermittently stopping and starting. Like you have a broken cable transmission. There where we stay in our house, the 3G cell phone reception isn't that good. So very often I'm in a conversation and there goes the thing. And then the person must phone back or I must phone back. It just makes meaningful conversation so much more difficult. And sometimes in our lives, we've got, if you think about your relationship with God, you've got to be honest somewhere along the line and say, I've got this broken cable connection with God. That I'm in a moment and then it's just as if there's silence. Or from God's side, we're having a nice conversation and things are moving and then suddenly I just disappear. He rings and rings and I don't pick up the phone. If there's a part of our communication that has been broken down with God, then God says, and that's a part of your brokenness that I want. Something that varies abruptly, as in pitch, for instance, broken sobs. And yeah, I know, I think so many of us have been there where the only thing you can get out in the moment is just a sob. Words aren't there, just the heart that's breaking. Uneven, broken terrain. Brokenness can speak about being subdued, totally humbled, having a broken spirit, weakened and infirm, having broken health, or dying of a broken heart, being crushed by grief, or being financially ruined. Speaks of brokenness. Something not functioning or something out of order. A gift. We heard this morning the Lord saying, I want to restore the gift of prophecy. It's a gift that I've given you. Well, it's the gift of prophecy, the gift of healings, the gift, whatever it is, or interpretation of tongues, whatever the Lord has given us, gift of faith, it is broken down. We're not operating the level that He wants us to operate. Then He says, the brokenness shouldn't keep you away from it. I want that brokenness. If you've been in Bible school, in small group, or you've done a spiritual seminar, somebody's laid their hands on you, you did a questionnaire, you had a dream, or you went through a time of fasting and prayer, and the Lord told you, showed you, this is your gift. Are you walking in that? Are you extending mercy if your gift is mercy? Are you laying your hands on people if the gift is healing? Are you hugging everybody and making sure the church is a lovely, wonderful, warm place if your gift is hospitality? Are you giving left, right, and center if your gift is giving? Or is the gift broken? Is it in a state of disarray? And if you look at this definition simply in terms of what the dictionary says, it's like, oh, Heinrich, we had a good time in worship. Now I got to speak about brokenness. What's the point? The point is because God wants the hardcore to understand. God wants that part inside of us that wants to be so strong, wants us to understand the power that there is in brokenness. Because you can either allow all of those things, and I don't know how many of those boxes you've ticked in terms of, I don't know what your level of brokenness is, either presently or what you've experienced in the past. There are quite a few that I had to tick when I went through that. But you can either allow those things to cause you to become bitter, or you can allow them to cause you to push into God and to allow God to get you to a place where your heart can understand how He feels about you and how He feels about other people. Jesus gives us a few promises, and just reading through it very quickly. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." I love this. He says, I'm near to those. We've gone through any of those things, anyone or any combination of them or more of them. I'm near to those, he says, who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. It speaks about a humility. It speaks about a capacity to understand just how broken I am. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. One of the greatest temptations about becoming religious with God is as soon as you get into the presence of God, you're wanting to shy away from the brokenness. You're wanting to pretend the brokenness isn't there. So we develop cliches and ways in which we talk with each other. How are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm above and not beneath. And you know, we say those things which are good because we need to confess what the word is saying over us. But we also need to be at a place where we recognize that all is not well. And if I just ignore it, if I don't confess, and if I don't acknowledge that I need someone to bind up my broken heart. You know what? Time doesn't heal the wounds. Time doesn't heal the wounds. It amplifies them because more relationships come on board and things grow and things grow. Jesus heals the wounds. But he heals the wounds of those who are brokenhearted. Contrite and spirit. David recognized it. David said, me walking on that wall and falling into a pornography addiction and eventually raping that woman, that didn't just happen out of nowhere. I am broke. I'm a broken man. And I'm going to give you this brokenness, Jesus. I'm not going to allow the brokenness to push me away from you anymore. You know the scripture, Luke 4, Jesus quotes from Isaiah, and he says, he's in the temple, or in the synagogue rather, and he's standing up and he's reading this portion of scripture. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There it is again. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus said, guys, I've promised this to you. I've shouted this out to you right throughout the ages. I heal the brokenhearted. I'm close to them. I'm there to bind up their wounds. Father God said, but there, here and there, there was the exception, a David who understood this. But I don't just want a David to understand. I want all of you to understand it. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you how I heal the broken heart. I'm going to send my son. And so often we pray for the presence of God. We pray for the anointing of God. I ask myself the question, what does the anointing of God look like? What does the presence of God look like? You know what the presence and the anointing of God looks like? It looks like Jesus. It looks like Jesus. And Jesus went around being drawn to people's brokenness. So wherever Jesus was on the scene, stuff happened. Things happened. Broken hearts were healed. Eyes were opened. People started walking. Those who were held captive were set free. And that is what Jesus wants to do through us as well. So when we pray for the presence of God, when we pray for His glory to come, we are praying for Jesus to be made manifest. That's what we're praying. That's what we're trusting God for. The amazing thing that I realized, if you go to Matthew 9, verse 9, the story about the guy who wrote the book of Matthew. He's saying, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. You know, the guy could have said, he saw me, but... He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me, right? This isn't the guy working at SARS doing a wonderful job. This is the most corrupt government official you could get in Israel. Right? He was a betrayer of friends and family. He took much more than what he should have. He was as corrupt as you could possibly get. Think of the most corrupt politician you can think of. Magnify him by 100. That was Matthew. Okay? His friends hated him. Family hated him. Only friends he had were the people that he could bribe to be his friend. Okay? So he arose and followed him. Jesus comes to this man and says, follow me. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Many more like Matthew. Many more like him. And worse, came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And I think here is where Kung Fu Panda would have said to them, the hardcore don't understand. The hardcore, those who are hard of heart, don't understand what's going on there. Don't understand what happens to Jesus when he's around broken people. And don't understand what happens to broken people when they are around Jesus. Don't understand the mission, the focused mission Jesus was on to get to Matthew, to get to those tax collectors, to get to those sinners. How he was not going to allow anything to keep him away from them. So Jesus comes and Jesus says to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, this is a sobering verse for men like me, because men like me, pastors, Pharisees, people who knew the word, that looked at what Jesus did and said, but that doesn't fit our box. Jesus, you're not supposed to be hanging around with those people. You're not supposed to be using your time that you could have spent preparing a sermon or singing worship songs. You should not be spending your time with them. There are better investments to be made. And Jesus says, well, listen, there's a medical scheme that heaven has available for you. I don't know how many of you are happy with your medical scheme. You know that there are certain procedures you need to get pre-approved approval for. Phone in and make sure. And you're in an emergency, you better hope that everything is covered. And Jesus says, listen, there's a pre-approved surgery for you. It's heart surgery. It has already been approved for you by heaven. You just need to rock up. You just need to say, this heart of mine, it's not good enough anymore. I need the surgery. The sad reality is that there were many Pharisees who never wanted that operation. There are many Pharisees there who never allowed the physician to get close to them. As Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What is the truth? The truth is that none of us is righteous. None of us. None of us can earn God's grace and can earn God's forgiveness. But there are some who thought that they were. Who thought that they were beyond his touch, the need of his touch. And then Jesus says, there's nothing that I can do for you. I can heal all around you. I can touch all around you. I can bless all around you. My heart is for you. I'm drawn to your brokenness. But I can't get close there because you don't want to open up. You don't want to acknowledge that I'm broken. And that holds true for the Pharisees, and that holds true for Heinrich, and that holds true for every other human being. Whether you've been saved 5 months, 5 years, 15, 50 years. The level of your acknowledgement in terms of your need for the grace of God, the mercy of God, the touch of God, determines the extent towards which Jesus can be Jesus to you. The fullness of him. And I've just been saying to Jesus, Jesus, I'm like this, like bits of you that I have. But I know that you want to be more to me. And I just felt it so strong this morning as well. It's like consistently from every word, every song, Jesus is saying, the hardcore. The hardcore. Guys, before you go on and before you get multiplied out of this building, out of your socks, the hardcore. I want the core to be soft. I want the core to be pliable and malleable. I want the core to consistently be at the place where we know we are in need of a physician. God bless doctors. We are in need of him who can touch us, where nobody else can touch us. And so, we finish off, we see that Jesus comes and he gives us this promise many times, over and over. In Isaiah 57 verse 7, he speaks through the prophet Isaiah. A scripture that so blesses me. It says, for thus says the high and lofty one. The one is exalted. I mean, we sang it. He's holy, holy, holy. One day we will get to heaven. That's all that we will sing for a long time. Holy, holy, holy. We'll sing it probably in many different ways. We'll give expression to it in different ways. But the crux of the matter is that it will be an expression of all God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy. The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the one, I'm trying to explain this concept to my kids and I can't because I don't even understand it. How could God not have a beginning and just be? And so it's like, we look at the planets and Jonah says, okay, so he's like up to the moon. Now it's beyond the moon, Pluto. Now it's beyond Pluto. And just like goes on, say, okay, where it stops. And Afrikaans like, I say, it was an 80 getalle uit. It's like beyond what you can count. It's beyond what you can count. It's 80 getalle uit. I mean, you think about it and after a while, your brain just goes, you know, like, how? He inhabits eternity. He's outside of the dimensions of time and space. He sees the end from the beginning. He's both in the past, the present, and the future at the same time. That is God. He inhabits eternity. His name is holy. That doesn't make Christianity unique. Many religions believe in a holy God that is above and beyond us. The crux of Christianity comes in here. That he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This holy God who inhabits eternity says that my relationship with you is not about how high you can reach towards me. It's about the fact that I've come to reach down into your mess. I love what Andy Stanley says at his church North Point. He says, we deliberately walk towards the messes. The messes. As Jesus did. He deliberately walked towards the mess in people's lives. And here God says, you know, don't build me grand temples and grand stuff. They're just stuff. Give me your heart. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to dwell. Not just visit, but where I want to dwell. And that's where I want to be, guys. Years ago, Don Moen, I don't know if anybody of you can remember Don Moen, he's from Hosanna Integrity in the 80s, sang a song, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. And God says, you know what, Heinrich, you want that? I want that even more. I want to be in you, around you. I want to be your Emmanuel. And I've made it easy for you. It's not through the rituals. It's about the softness of heart. When you come into the presence of God, we have to come clothed in the right way. 1 Peter 5:5. God has got a medical scheme for us, covers our heart surgery. He's got some designer wear for us as well. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Selah. Stop. Think about that. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. looked this up as well, heard somebody else saying, and I looked it up. I thought, that's a strong word, eh? God resists the proud. I'm like, one of those moments, like, man, I don't want to be resisted by God. And that's a meek translation. Some of the more literal translation says that God arrays himself in battle armor against the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. And there's a way in which grace manifests. It's the way we talk to each other, the way we submit to each other, the way we love each other. And so I want to commend us as a church, and I want to appeal as well. That in our interaction with each other, let's build God a house by treating each other as kings and queens in his presence, honoring each other, being submissive to each other, holding each other in high esteem. It's the crux of Scripture. The way we treat each other either pushes the presence of God away or draws his presence. Either pushes him away or draws him. Let's keep our hearts soft. Jesus promises that he gives us grace. Grace the humble. So I wonder if some of us this morning, maybe not like that emperor, thought he was clothed and walked through the street and actually wasn't clothed. I don't want to go into battle wearing the wrong thing. And I just believe the Lord is wanting to say to us this morning, man, come on, put your designer wear on. Put on what I've designed for you to wear. And it's interesting that Scripture says there, we have to be clothed with humility. That means you have to take it up. You've got to go to it. Take it upon yourself. It's a decision we have to make. Clothe ourselves with humility. And that humility comes through realizing the brokenness of our hearts. Realizing how much we need him. Realizing his grace. And so this morning as we're going to take communion, I want to ask us to stand. And the ushers, if you guys can hand out the communion. And I want to read to you the scripture. 1 Corinthians 11 says, verse 23, for Paul speaking, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance for me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The great exchange, we've got the Johannesburg Stock Exchange here. But Scripture holds before us the cross exchange. The exchange of grace. The exchange where our brokenness can be exchanged for his. Jesus says, you don't have to carry your brokenness by yourself. You don't have to carry the feeling of failure or the feeling of incompleteness or that broken arm or that broken signal. You don't have to carry it by yourself. I was broken for you so you can be made whole. And Jesus says that he's close to revive the spirit of the humble. You know what revival means? It means to resuscitate someone. You revive them. You do what God did with Adam. He came, knelt beside Adam, breathed breath into his lungs. It says that Adam became a living soul. And so what I want us to do this morning is we're going to partake of communion. I want you to take a minty. It's a minty that's going to come along as well. So you're going to pass it along, and I want you to take one. And after we have partaken of the communion elements, I want you, as the band is going to minister to us, I want you to, this is stuff, one of the more difficult exercises we're going to do in church. I want you to take that mint, and I want you to put it in your mouth. Okay, you think you can do that? All of us believers, and maybe you're new to Christianity, I believe all of us can do that. Okay, you just take the mint after we've taken communion, and I've prayed, and I want you to put it in your mouth. And I want you to savor the flavor. Because the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, wants to breathe upon you. He wants to revive you. And there's some of us that have areas in our lives where we need to be revived. And so I want you not just to very sophisticatedly, if there is such a word, surreptitiously suck on that mint. I want you to suck the marrow out of that mint. I want you to, as you suck it, to inhale. I want you to visualize the breath of God reaching, even as the flavor of the mint reaches into your mouth, does some things to your mouth. That the breath of God is wanting to reach every area of your life this morning. Every area maybe you feel is broken. And He wants to come and He wants to touch those areas. Not just touch it, but diffuse a fragrance through you. It's nothing as lovely as being around somebody with a lovely breath. Let me use a positive statement. And God wants us as believers. He wants people to, like, wow, did you smell that church? I spoke to them and there was this flavor of grace. This flavor of humility. No need to prove themselves. No need to win me over with arguments. We could disagree, but they were just so gentle. Still loved me. I never smelled anything quite like it. Let's close our eyes. Father, we are here, God, as the broken. And God, we thank you for the invitation that you have given us from the beginning of the service right towards the end. That there are parts and dimensions and seasons, specifically feel God, seasons for so many of us that are closer to brokenness than to wholeness. And that you're saying, oh, it's for this reason that you came. It's to heal the broken heart. Bind up their wounds. Not something that you, God, you must do, you have to do. It's what you delight to do. You delight to do it. And Jesus, more than just wanting to do it, you did it for us on the cross. And you were broken for us. And I want you now to think of just an area of brokenness in your life. Maybe you had the parents who left you or left each other, or maybe you have that gift or that body that is broken, or maybe you have that communication with your Heavenly Father or with your spouse, your kids that have been broken. Maybe you're in rough terrain. You've got so many decisions you have to make and you haven't made wise ones. You've lost so much time. You feel like you're 15 years behind schedule. Jesus took all of that upon himself. All of that. All. Every definition the dictionary could come up with. And more, Jesus took upon himself. So Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken for us. So that we don't have to walk through this life weighed down. Without joy and without hope. Thank you, God, that even though we have been wounded, we don't have to be slaves and victims to those wounds. So, God, I pray this morning that you would come and through the power of your blood and through the power of your broken body, that you would replace the woundedness with brokenness. A brokenness that says, Jesus, I need you. I have needed you. I am needing you and I will forever need you to be my God, to be greater and more powerful than I could ever possibly be, to manifest your glory, to show yourself strong, to do the impossible, to revive me, to breathe breath into and through me, to fill up my lungs, to open up my mouth, so I can show forth your praises. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. Let's eat together. Take the bread and just eat of it. In the name of Jesus, let's drink together of the wine. Represents his blood. Wine being used very liberally there. Juice. Hey, to find healing is a joyous thing, huh? It doesn't have to be so heavy. Now for the moment. Hey, some of you are in the moment already. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, the awesomeness of being in the moment. Unwrap your minty. Hold it in your hand if you haven't. Put it in your mouth yet. If you have it in your mouth, keep it there. Why don't I have one? Why doesn't the preacher have one? I need one as well. Thank you, Linda. Father, thank you that you said that you are close to the humble and the broken and the contrite ones, to revive their spirits and to revive their hearts, to breathe upon them. And God, we bring to you the valley of dry bones in our lives, the things that we know only you can resurrect. And we thank you that we can acknowledge our brokenness before you. I ask you to come and breathe upon us. And were they brokenness, God, we declare that you are holy. Let's enjoy our mints together. To just try and stay in the moment. And if there is a specific area in your life the Lord is highlighting to you right now, and with your minty in your mouth, I want you just to respond in. Just to come to the front. Just to come to the front. I say, God, I'm ready for an exchange. Maybe you have exchanged before, but you took it back upon yourself. As Lika shared with us this morning, maybe you gave something to him and you picked up the burden again. When it comes to Jesus. Sorry. I shouldn't have. I thought I was strong enough to carry this. I'm not. Won't you carry it for me? Maybe in your finances, in your marriage, in your body. Just respond. Bring that area before the Lord. I specifically felt that it's a healing song. The song of God's holiness. It's not a plea for God. It's a declaration of who he is. That he is holy and yet at the same time he is close. He is holy and at the same time he is close. The Lord is going to heal so many hearts. Impart so much joy. And And as you hear the front, I just want you to raise your hands and I just want you to breathe deeply. Say, just thank you, God, for your breath. Thank you, God, for your spirit. Thank you, God, for filling up my lungs. Thank you, God, for giving me a new heart. Thank you, God, for changing me at my core. So God, we give you these precious moments. So we're going to continue. I know that we're running a little bit over time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just pray a prayer of blessing. See, if you need to go, then you can leave. If you want to stay behind and just have the Holy Spirit minister to you, just do that as well. Father, we honor you. We worship you. We thank you that you've never been intimidated by our humanity. And God, there's a brokenness in so many of our hearts this morning that comes from pressure. And I thank you that this morning, Lord, specifically, you want to release the pressure valve. Let the pressure out. So we inhale and as we exhale, the pressure will just fall off us. The pressure to perform, the pressure to have it all together, just be stripped away this morning. We can be your sons and we can be your daughters who are bold enough to step out on the water. Just be loved by you. Say, you are holy. You are holy. If you are here this morning as well and you've never felt the Lord's embrace, you've never felt his love, you've never said to him, Jesus, I am broken. Not because I do sinful things, but I am in the core of my being, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I need you to come and make me whole. I need you to present me to your Father, this holy God. You've never surrendered your life with all the brokenness. You've heard so many things about God. You were never able to surrender your life to him. Then I'm going to ask you as well to come to the front. Just come and tap me on the shoulder. Just pray with me. I want to surrender fully and completely. I want to surrender. So Father, thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you for your presence that's not just here, but will go with us. And that we can be the fragrance of God wherever you send us. In Jesus' name. Let's lift up our voices, those of us who